I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time for another Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, netcast. And once again, you're there, I'm here, and all's right with the universe. Because you're there, and I'm here, and whatever. You know what I mean. Anyway, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. I just heard something go ding, and you know what I think it is? Ha! I think it's my new tablet. You say, Dr. Bill, you got a new tablet? No. It's the same old tablet, but I got Jelly Bean on it. You're going, what? Android Jelly Bean. This is Team DRH's permutation of the Jelly Bean version of Android for the ViewSonic G tablet. How's that for convoluted? And I managed to even show it to you without showing you the shiny. I can do the shiny, but I'll try not to. Anyway, there you go. So cool. How's that? Plus, now here's what's amazing. I can go to the browser, and it will open up the browser. How cool is that? A tablet that actually functions. Well, you got to admit, that's pretty cool. You say, wow, Dr. Bill, it doesn't take much to thrill you. Well, dude, I've had my ins and outs with tablets. Specifically, see, there's the Dr. Bill website. That cute. Anyway, you see, as most of you know, I've had problems with wonkiness when it comes to tablets, and I finally got so disgusted with the wonkiness that I decided to do an upgrade, which was rather exciting yesterday. My beard's kind of splitting there, like in half. I'll have to kind of move it around a little bit so it's more uniform. Anyway, the point is that yesterday I went to do this upgrade and I bricked it. My wife looked at me and went, "You bricked it?" She could see visions of new tablets being ordered in the future. No. I was undeterred. I found a place online where they talked about how to unbrick your ViewSonic G-Tab. And so it was that I found this site. And not only did they have a method for unbricking and putting on a new version of the NV Flash program, but they also had this Jelly Bean version of Android. So cool. So I'll put a link in the show notes for you to find it. How's that? Those of you that have G tablets, all two of you out there watching. Okay, anyway, you know, you can probably find the G tablet online now for very little money, because even ViewSonic has purged it from their website. Whoa. Anyway, but if you find it, at least you can upgrade it to Jelly Bean, which is pretty cool. So, boy, I got a lot to talk about. Lots of stuff this week. So, hang in there. First item I'll talk about is that there is a fix for updates in Ubuntu Linux variants. Now, as you may or may not know, probably you do because you've watched the netcast over the last few weeks, I have completely, totally been amazed and pleased at Linux Mint. Those of you out there that kept saying, hey, Dr. Bill, you ought to go look at Linux Mint. I finally got around to it. And guess what? It rocks. I know a lot of you are saying, duh, don't be so slow. Sorry. Anyway, so I did an apt-get update on the Linux Mint build that I had. Actually, where did I have it? I had it on a laptop that I had installed it on, and I was having problems with it. When I do the update, it would come back a headers, problem with headers. I was like, dude. So I looked up online how to fix it. And here's the error that I found. I knew, I thought I had the error in here. Encountered a section with no package header. And it wouldn't do the update. So I said to myself, bummer, man. That's what I say here in the article. Anyway, so I looked it up, and here's the fix. Sudo space rm space slash or whack var whack lib whack apt whack list whack star, and then space, and then dash vf. Sure, you say. I'll put that up here on the screen so you can see it. Then once you run that, it'll go, it'll spit out some stuff. And then you could run your sudo apt-get update. Ka-bing! It's fixed. Isn't that cool? I like giving you things where it shows you how to fix things. Hints and tips. I just like that. Now, here's the next thing for you. In the process of building this laptop, which is also for work, my work machine is running Linux Mint, and now my work laptop is running Linux Mint. I'm telling you, I am all about Linux Mint. It's awesome. So, as you may well remember, many netcasts ago, I talked about a post that I did called the Dr. Bill's Perfect Fedora Build. This is back when I was running Fedora Linux and had just switched to it. And I did a step-by-step geek shorthand version of how to do the perfect Fedora build for me. So if you're me, obviously you're not, but you might like similar stuff that I do. So I did my personal perfect Linux Mint build, step-by-step download the media, which is a .iso, burn the ISO to a DVD, and so forth. In other words, step by step by step. And how to set up everything that I normally set up. And it's right here for you on the website, drbill.tv. How cool is that? So I encourage you to go out and check that out. There are those of you that I'm sure are searching for such a thing. And in the process, one of the things I mentioned on here is that I also installed eSword. You know, that's my very favorite Windows-based free electronic Bible. So you can do searches and all those kinds of things and check out the Strong's Concordance meanings of words and all those kinds of things. And they don't have a Linux version. Okay, but you can install the Windows version under Wine. Remember last week I said if you were very, very good, that I would go ahead and show you how to do that. So let's do that walkthrough right now.
Okay, so what we have here is a fresh new build of Linux Mint, ready to go. So the first thing we want to do is go to the Software Manager, and of course you have to enter your password to allow you to do anything administratively, and then it will come up and load all the 40,000 plus packages. We want to type in Wine because that's what we want to find is Windows, or Wine is not an emulator, not Windows is not an emulator. Then we'll click Wine, we'll click Install, notice one button install, and then it will begin installing. Now, this process to do the install, while it doesn't require anything of you, takes a little time. So I'm going to kind of shorten this up just a bit to make it, where we're not sitting here staring at a green bar go across the screen. We agree to the EULA, the End User Agreement, and then we wait a little longer, and I skip a bit here. And then finally, Wine is installed. Notice it says over there, installed. Now, we will go to Chrome, my favorite web browser, Chromium as it's called in Linux, and we'll choose a program to install, in this case, eSword. So we're going to go get eSword. Remember, it is free. You can go to e-sword.net as I'm typing here. And there's eSword. We'll click download. We'll get the full version here, which is currently 10.1.0. And it will download the setup file for eSword. Now keep in mind, this is a Windows program, but notice that it's already got a little icon in the little icon there that this is a Windows program. So it recognizes, since we've installed Wine, that this is a Windows program. Okay, so let's look at it here in the folder. We're going to right click, and notice it says open with Wine Windows Program Loader. That simple. We click it, and it will actually start the Windows install. Now, since this is a fresh build, it's going to build the .wine hidden directory, which is where it's going to store all of the Wine configuration information, but it just basically does a very, and notice how quick this install is, by the way, because Wine is actually faster than running it under regular Windows, and it's going to put it in C program files eSword. You say, but this is Linux, it doesn't have a C program files. Yes, but Wine is emulating it and creating an area on the drive that emulates that location, which is exactly what a Windows program would expect. And now notice, here is your eSword icon. You click it, and it will launch the Windows version of eSword under Linux, and you've got a Windows program installed under Linux. Just that simple, folks. I'm telling you, how cool is this? And of course, it's just the regular Windows eSword. Now, I usually get rid of the TIFFs at startup, and I usually minimize all these extraneous areas of the program and just get it down to the basic Bible here. We'll just go to Matthew and choose a chapter 13. That's good. And of course, you can see everything's there. And here's what I like to do too. This is just a little tip on eSword particularly. You can go into the fonts here, and I like to choose Arial because I find Arial easier to read. So I choose Arial, and I choose 14 because I like to be able to read it really easily. And then the tooltip, I usually set around 10 or 11 and also make it Arial. Okay, that's just a tip. You can do what you want to. It's all about personalization. But you notice now, if I go to the Strong's Concordance and click on that, it's still building the fonts. It's taking a little extra time here to get all the fonts set and everything, so don't worry about that. But then we bring it up, and notice I can hover over the Strong's number, and it will show it. And it's just that simple. We'll exit out. Now, what I'm going to go ahead and do is get rid of the extraneous eSword.link file. You can delete that. And since I like to always put the word first place, I'm going to put it up here at the top and then rearrange the order here. And we're done. Just that simple.
So there you have it. How to do Linux Mint and install Wine and then eSword. Dude, how cool is that? So I would encourage you to give that a shot. Install it and see the amazingness of running Windows programs under Wine under Linux. It blows your mind. Alrighty, let's take a moment here to thank our sponsor, which of course is Citrix Systems. Citrix Systems has this wonderful program called GoToMeeting with HD Faces. I encourage you to take advantage of this special offer that we have for GoToMeeting with HD Faces. 30 days free for you to try it. And I'm telling you, you need to try it. If you haven't tried it, don't say, I'd never use that. Dude, until you've tried it, you cannot say that. Believe me, you got to go try it. Now, all you got to do is go to the website, like the banner says here. Go to gotomeeting.com and then click in the little field there and type in the special code word podcast. Once you do that, then you'll get a 30-day free trial of GoToMeeting. Dude. And those of us on the Tech Podcast Network will get a pat on the back from Citrix. So everyone will be happy. Now, GoToMeeting is awesome because you can collaborate. You can have meetings across the interwebs. Dude. And in HD. And now, you can even launch a meeting directly from an iPad. You can run the meeting from the iPad. So, remember, meeting is believing. You need to go to gotomeeting.com, type in the word podcast, and take advantage of this special free one-month offer. I'm telling you. Okay, back to what we're talking about here on the Oldie blog. And let me open my browser back up. There we go. It just opened up like it's supposed to. That's just so cool. You can tell I was pretty frustrated before. I had a whole show called My Tablet's Gone Wonky Edition because it was so frustrating. Anyway, Google has stopped the free Google Apps service. What? They offered, you know, word processor and all these things, and they offered it for free. Now they're going to start charging $50 per user per year. What? I'm not happy about this. Now, I never used the service, so you might say, well, what do you care, Dr. Bill? It's the principle of the thing. Dude, you know, free software on the interwebs is what we're all about. It's what we all want. Know what I'm saying? So, come on, guys. I mean, send Google a message that says, what? And by the way, I saw Dr. Bill and he said, what? Anyway, just saying. Okay. This is an interesting bit of news. An open source Skype alternative, which is pretty cool. This is EKIGA, which I'm going to take a hazard of a guess at and say EKIGA? I don't know. I don't think I'm going to try to pronounce it any further than that. I get into trouble pronouncing things if I try too many times. It kind of degenerates into gibberish. But what can I say? So, to avoid that, I'll just say it's an open source Skype alternative. And I have a link here in the show notes about it, or the blog about it. And it says, longtime users of Ubuntu Linux may already be familiar with the open source Skype alternative, which I can't pronounce, which used to be the default voice over internet protocol VoIP client in the popular Linux distribution. But late last month, the telephony software got a major update, arriving some 3 years after the previous release. This software that's up here on the screen here, also known as the Victory Release, is now available, offering a fresh new Skype alternative for users of Linux and Windows alike. So check it out. Video, audio, VoIP, all the stuff that's provided by Skype, except it's totally open source. Cool. You know, Microsoft bought Skype. Just saying. So if you want a free and open source alternative, you can check this one out. Oh! Yes! That drum roll tells us that we have a Geek Software of the Week. Geek Software of the Week this week is Evince. Now, Evince is not a guy named Vince who went on the internet. You know, There's people who call themselves E this, that, and the other because they like to do such crazy things. But no, this is events. Events is a document viewer from multiple document formats. Now, when I first found it, it was just interesting to me because it was a PDF reader. But then I discovered, dude, this is more than just a PDF reader. It will read PDF, PostScript. What is that? DJVU? Never heard of it. Oh well. TIFFs, DVIs, XPSs, sync text support with gedit, and it will read comic books. Hey, I read comic books and I'm not even an e-reader. No, what it means is it will read the comic book formats, such as .cbr, .cbz, .cb7, and .cbt. These are all comic book formats for comic book readers. There's a whole world out there of people who have scanned in old comic books that have gone public domain and then created open source readers to read said comic books. Well, Events will do that for you, as well as reading your PDFs, your postscripts, and your deja vus, or whatever that is, and all the other formats that I listed there. Dude! And not only is it for Linux, it's also for Windows, and it's open source, and it's free, and you can read your PDFs, and it organizes them over on the side with, you know, like where you've got pages and numbers of pages, and you can go straight to those pages. Dude! It's so elegant and cool looking. And then you can print them? I mean, it's awesome. So, check it out. It's this week's Geek Software of the Week. Yes. Even if it did bump me in the noggin with the drum roll. Anyway. So, what do you think of this angle? I've got the camera straight in front of me here with the background books and things. And the angry pig and the silly, you know, angry bird over here and Tux and the tortoise. Not looking at it at an angle. It's all straight on. It's kind of odd. Yes, Fred. You are right, I am sure. But I have always been odd. What can I say? Anyway. So, I would do a Geek Software Week. I would do a Geek Wisdom if it weren't for the fact that my Geek Wisdom book is in there. And I'm in here. I would have to get up and you know, there would be this screen of blankness. The screen of blankness. And you'd be going, where'd he go? What happened? So, I'll just give you this bit of Geek Wisdom. Are you ready? You should not get your wife a surge suppressor for a Christmas present. You say, Dr. Bill, did you get your wife a surge suppressor for a Christmas present? No, because I have geek wisdom. I actually heard that on TechZilla this week. That was from their discussion of Christmas presents. And they made the statement that you should not get your wife a surge suppressor for a Christmas present. No, it wasn't on TechZilla. I'm sorry, I'm wrong. I don't like being wrong. No, it was on Twit. Leo Laporte and the gang. Leo was advertising some jewelry. And basically, John C. Dvorak said, why are you advertising jewelry on a geek show? And Leo said, because you don't want to buy your wife a surge suppressor for Christmas. You want to get her jewelry. It's a public service to geeks for me to tell you these things. And I thought, sounds good. So, all the things you learn on Twit, TechZilla, and Dr. Bill. Between the three, you're set. Although it takes a long time to watch Twit. It's hours. All of my episodes are like 15 to 20 minutes or so, maybe 30 sometimes. I actually had one that was an hour and 15 minutes, but that was because it was a long Game Master segment. But most of the time, I know, another bit of wisdom here, the attention span of the average viewer is only as long as their bottom will hold out sitting and watching something. So there you go. More wisdom for you. Just saying. All right, so we are just about done with this week's edition of the Dr. Bill Show. But you saw a cool wine walk through, and you heard some wisdom. Two bits of wisdom for the price of one. That's not bad. So, join us next time. Remember until then that the doctor is out of here.
Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.